Well, the readings start this evening in Colossians, and then we move to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Then we move to verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Those who do wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Then we move to Genesis chapter 2. Adam and Eve. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watered the garden, flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havah, where there is gold. The gold of the land is good, aromatic resin, and onyx was also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, God was busy in that passage. So you'll be aware, if you've been here for a couple of weeks, that we're in a series about faith in our lives. And this week it's faith in work. And I decided to spare you a catalogue from the back of my CV of all the different jobs I've done over the last 30 years. Because actually, in the end, they're all a bit similar, really. They all either involve healthcare, nursing, or talking about healthcare, or talking to nurses, or doing healthcare. So I didn't have much variety. But I brought you this picture, because I just want to engage with you at the level of the breadth of work that is represented in this congregation. Then we're going to explore a bit about work together. I want to give us a little bit of an introduction to the theme. And then I've got three different areas that we're going to unpick together. And I want you to genuinely engage from whatever perspective you're sitting here with today. So whether you're retired, whether, like Jenny, you started on the hardest job of your life with a new baby, whether you have got things to go back to tomorrow that you're dreading, whatever your position, I hope there's something that's going to be helpful to you today. This picture is actually a snapshot of some of the jobs done by people in my family. Now, I've written business analyst. I think the person in the middle is meant to look like a business analyst. Actually, I can't describe my son's job because it's too hard for me to understand. I can't even say the name of his company particularly, but he's some kind of person who looks at figures and spreadsheets and does lots of analysis and works in New York, and I don't really understand it. And he explains it every time he comes home, and every time I think, that sounds really hard. But he works as an analyst. My mum works very, very hard, caring for all the old people. She was 80 a couple of weeks ago, but she cares for old people who need visits because she doesn't consider herself at all to be one of them yet, and she regularly makes tea at a voluntary cafe. My nephew and my brother are engineers. They work in toolmaking. Our son's a cardiac physiologist, but actually has a real passion to teach other physiologists at the moment. Our son-in-law is a policeman, but I've put a good balanced image of a policewoman up there for you. Our daughter and her husband are youth workers. We have a psychologist, an actor. We have parents. My daughter's at home with a 12-week-old baby boy at the moment and a 3-year-old, and she's finding that like work. I wonder if your work looks like any of those. I wonder if you go to work at all. I wonder what work looks like for you. Just take a moment just to register the word and think, what does work look like for me? It will look very different for all of us, but I can guarantee that all of us are doing some work some of the time. And as you think about that, just think about this verse that was in our reading. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever work looks like for you, we're to do it in the name of Jesus and give thanks to God. So we're going to look at a biblical-based picture of work tonight. And there's such a vast subject. Very clever people have written huge books about it. So we can only really have a snapshot tonight. And I've just picked up some questions I want to ask of us. And I'm hoping that you'll go away with a question to ask yourself, just to stimulate a bit of thinking, really. But one of the things I wanted to say by way of an introduction, it's that for many of us here, work is where we spend far more of our time than we spend in church. And that's significant. Quite often the things we say at the front here, the things that we do in our worship, you could go away and you could think, how do I apply that? Does Maggie have a clue what it looks like when I turn up to the office on a Monday morning? You know, does Steve remember what it's like to work in Jaguar with a deadline and work to do that kept you up late at night and still you've got to go to your youth group in the evening? Work is wherever we are, but we need to recognise in the church that our faith has something to say about that work, even if it's not recognised church work, or perhaps especially if it's not recognised church work, because our faith is highly relevant to our work. How we work, what we do, what we choose to do, and how we as individual people reflect the kingdom of God to others in our workplaces. The Church of England, never the first to find out about something, wrote a report only 2 years ago where it realised that the church was not doing enough to recognise the needs of people going to work and needing to express their faith in their workplace. And they said this, it's an amazing quote, I think. It's in a report called Setting God's People Free. We have before us an amazing opportunity to impact our nation for Christ. 98% of the people in the Church of England are not ordained and spend 95% of our lives out in society. There, we have the privilege and opportunity to serve Christ in every task we do, in every encounter we have, and every place we find ourselves, in the factory as well as the sanctuary, in the primary school as well as in the Sunday school, in the team meeting as well as the prayer meeting. So it's interesting, isn't it? And if you can just hear what I'm saying, I'm just trying to take us out and perhaps apologise a little bit. If you have heard the message of the church traditionally to not address the needs of people who work, whose work is not within the church, because all work matters to God. As Christians, we have a real calling to work wherever our work is, and our work is valuable as part of our discipleship. How we work, how we understand our place as a Christian in that setting, wherever God has sent us, how we behave alongside other people, all those things matter to God. So let's be really careful that we don't sort of side with that story that says only church jobs matter, only things done here are important to God. Actually, Christians in the workplace are in a far better place to influence culture and perhaps to witness for things like Alpha than those who spend all of their days working in the church. And if you think perhaps your work is too small or too insignificant to count tonight, I just want to say this. In Genesis, we have this picture of God as a gardener, not the most significant, not an analytical business job that I can't understand, God is a gardener. In the New Testament, we see God as a carpenter. No task is too small a vessel to hold the immense dignity of work given by God. In other words, treat every little thing as though it really matters. Every little thing. One of my experiences of that has been of preparing for hours sometimes to write a talk and then going to the place I've had to deliver the talk and finding three or four people. And you look and you think, I've done all this work. And then you hear God say, but you're doing it for me, so does it matter? And it does for a bit until you work on it and you have to do a bit of work with yourself and God, and then it doesn't matter because you're doing it to honour him. And then it's just the next slide. I found this quote the other day, and I absolutely love it. I had to look up Dorothy Sayers to make sure she wasn't dodgy, and she isn't. But she was a radical women's writer in the 20s and 30s. If you're interested in women and feminism, have a look at Dorothy Sayers. This is what she said. The church's approach to an intelligent carpenter is usually confined to exhorting him not to be drunk and disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. What the church should be telling him is this: that the very first demand that his religion makes upon him is that he should make good tables. In other words, the quality of his work really matters. It's not secondary to coming to church. So just to tell you where we're going, I want to pick up three themes around all this. And for each of these themes, I'm going to give you a challenge and a possible tool. So a tool that might help you explore it more after the service, and a challenge that you might want to take away. And I realise that for some of you here, even just thinking about work tomorrow might be a bit of a hard thing because it's not going great. It's not easy. It's not a good season for you. You may be in a season where actually the job you're doing is a job you don't really want to be doing. It's just the one that pays the wages for now, and you'd really rather be elsewhere. You may think, well, actually any sense of noble calling to it, that's a bit of a luxury for rich people and I just have to earn money. And yet what I'm going to say actually applies to every one of those situations. And in a busy working day, having worked 10-hour shifts as a nurse with 5-minute appointments and no gaps, I can understand if you think when you go to work that you don't always remember to be spiritual. That actually sometimes you come home at the end of the day and you think, gosh, I'm going to church tomorrow, and I've got to admit I didn't really pray all day. Didn't have time to think about God. Wasn't particularly holy. I just did my work. You know, this word I hope be an encouragement to you as well. And I just want to say as well that when we talk about Christians and work and Christians in the workplace, often our sub-message is evangelize your friends. But I want to say this is much more. This is about valuing everything in your work that you're offering as a gift to God and as a reflection of who God has made you to be. So in every sense, it's important. Okay. So I think the next slide will just give you the three things that we're going to look at together. I've renamed these constantly, so I'm just going to read them. So we've talked about what does work look like for you, and now the three things we're going to explore are the faith to believe that God has created you to be unique, and that actually there's a fit for you in the workplace, there's a fit for you in the work that you do. There are things that God has given you that are unique to you, that mean nobody else can do what you do the way that you do it. And then the second one, how our faith can make a difference at work, exploring some of those ways together that faith makes a difference. And then finally, faith working under pressure. What if you hate your job? Saving that to the end. So God has made you unique. You know that we are all unique. And if you look around, you can see that we all look a bit different. If we actually sat side by side with each other at each other's workplaces, we would suddenly realise how different we are, what different skills we have. If I went to Pete's work, I probably would struggle to read the pages. If some of you came and sat in Steve's office, you wouldn't understand how he manages to control the pieces of paper he has. Certainly if I went into Owen's office, I wouldn't even be able to work out what he was trying to achieve. I'd have more chance with Jenny because I've done what Jenny is doing and I've got some experience of babies. But we are all different. And I wonder if you ever think, I think of that this often, how did our children end up in the jobs they've ended up in? You know, in our case, it's a combination of their natural ability. God has given them natural skills. Our kids turn out to all be pretty good at maths, which turn out to be very handy. It's opportunities. Who did they connect with? Who inspired them? Who did they see that made them think, oh, I could do that? Might be example. Did they see somebody doing a job and that kind of made them think, there's an area that I could work in? I think for ours, a lot of it was about heart attitude, and having a vicar and a nurse in the family definitely steered the majority of our children towards kind of people-y jobs. But do you think Owen's choice of career is less significant than Tom's? Tom spends his days working with unsaved kids. Owen works in an office. Who's the most valued? And if they're both expressing the gifts that God has invested in them, they are both uniquely valued, uniquely purposed to do things that matter. So I wonder how well you've worked out what your skills are, what your gifts are, what your talents are, whether you're in a setting at the moment where you're testing that out or whether you're doing something you feel really confident about. I know some work settings you go in really confident and the setting makes you much less confident, doesn't it? Because you suddenly think, I can't really do this. And you have to find that confidence back. But if in the end that's your calling, you will break through and you will get there. But have you worked out how to test out whether you're in the right place, for example? Are you working at something that really fits you? I just want to encourage you, even if you're later on in your life, to ask the question, am I doing the best with all that God has put in me? Because that's something to celebrate and explore. And just as an example, my father died 10 years ago. He was 77 when he died. And when he was about 72 or 73, he said to me one day, I was a teacher all my life. I hated it. I should have been an engineer. He was beginning to understand who he was. Partly he understood that because all of his retired life, he just dabbled with electronics. And he loved it. It gave him a real joy. If that's you, why not explore the things God's put in you even now? How is God shaping you for your work, and even perhaps in and through your work? How is he shaping you? And here's the tool. I said I'd give you a tool for this question. So here's the tool. Are you most energized by things? Do things that get you excited? If you loved building a computer when you were a teenager, like one of our kids, things get you really excited. Are you energized by people? We had to beg one of our daughters not to be a social worker because she loved people far too much, and we thought it would probably kill her to be a social worker. But she was definitely going to have a job with people. Are you a creative ideas person? Someone who can think about things nobody else has thought of. You're great people to have on a team. If you're like that, come and join a team because it just adds so much energy to a team. Are you an information person? Somebody who likes to seek out what's out there and find out about stuff and then collate it and turn it into something useful to help other people. See, when we have in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship, created for good works, God has put a purpose on our life, and that does not just apply to our church ministry. He's put those things in us for a reason. And actually, if your real call and gifting and the way God has made you means that you're a brilliant scientist, you actually may be quite a poor fit as a vicar. You might not, but you might be. But what a difference you could make in the world of design or in the world of discovery or in the world of invention or in medicine. And if you really struggle with all of that, I just want to give a little plug for something that's coming up next month. We're going to be running a course from the middle of October called Shaped by God. And we're going to be exploring some themes around how God has invested in us, both spiritual gifts, our passions, our natural abilities, things about our personality, things about our experiences, so that we can really understand the shape that we are, partly so that we can celebrate with one another, that we are all uniquely different, but everything that we've been given is a gift from God. Even spiritual gifts in the place of work. You might find yourself in your job just needing some real wisdom. Do I take this opportunity? Do I follow this lead? Do I balance this piece of work, or do I do that one first? Words of wisdom, gifts of God to inspire us about God's purposes even in the workplace. So spiritual gifts come into that as well. And I would dare to say, if you're in the wrong job and you're thinking, gosh, I'm probably not in a place that fits me at all at the minute, don't see it as a disaster, because God can use that to really help you to focus on where perhaps you could be. I did a job for a couple of years, and I did it, if I'm honest, because I felt as a good Christian person I should do that kind of job. It was a charity job. It was a very noble job. It was for a very good purpose. It did not fit me one bit. And it took me a while of battling against things that I didn't enjoy and trying to change systems in the workplace to realise it wasn't the right place for me at all. But in doing that, I learnt a lot about what was the primary calling on my life. So don't give up if you're in the wrong setting. So the challenge is to take some time to look at those skills and to go to God and say, Lord, help me to celebrate what you've given me. Help me unpack it. Help me test it out. Help me find out who I've been made to be. So the second thing, faith to make a difference at work. I think I said earlier that we often talk about work, and we might, certainly in the church, we might give the impression that the only thing that matters at work is that you go to work and you find some opportunity to share your testimony. But actually, the verse that we have tells us a different story. It says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. In other words, work at the job as if you were doing it for God. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's really struck me, in some work settings that I've been in, and you may be in one of these, most people are working to be noticed, particularly if there's a career opportunity, working to catch the eye of somebody, working to build a CV, working to be impressive, working to be a bit better than the other person in case an opportunity comes up, working to please, working just to get things done as quickly and efficiently as possible. I certainly had that approach when I was in a factory once. What if your attitude is that you're working to please God? What does that change? It might mean you don't climb over somebody else. Actually, you let them go first. It might be actually invest some of your working day in building up a colleague who's struggling. Because although it takes some of your time from your job, actually you can see that's a really good thing to do. And that could really honour God. Ask God the question, why have you put me here today with these people? What am I here to do? How could I honour you here? Genesis gives us a picture of work that runs through the Bible, of work as a good thing. And we begin to see, as the Old Testament unfolds, the real celebration of skills, skilled craftspeople, people who can do stuff and do it really, really well. So we have this Genesis 2 account that says it's the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. God begins the whole of the Bible with this story of doing his work. And remember, he celebrates it and says, isn't that good? And then he takes man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God has created work from the very beginning. Then let's find ways to honour him with the work that we have and find those godly characteristics in our work. And maybe just notice the things where the culture around us that is not Christian has an impact so that we can begin to be a force that resists it. The illustration that came to my mind of this was, as a nurse, we often got sent off on training, so you do regular training days. And a working day would be 8 till 6. So that's a normal working day for a nurse in practice. And you turn up to the training day, and they'd let you off, so you'd have coffee at 8:30, and you'd start at 9. So you'd have quite a nice start. But over and over again, I'd be on training days where nurses would start leaving at 4. I've got to go home. Well, actually, they're doing this. They're nipping into town and shopping, but they've got to go home. And the cultural drift was to steal a bit of time away. Look out for those cultures where you are working and think, how can I be more honouring actually in this? And am I following that kind of lead? Am I being more honourable than the people around me? Not to say anything to them, not to make them feel bad, but just to honour God in that setting. And then I said there'd be a tool for this bit as well. And this tool is just another set of words. So just listen out for the one that might speak to you, might be most appropriate to you. These are from the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. They come under their heading of what they call making good work. These are positive things that you might do. So which of these perhaps fits you best? Are you someone who's inspired to bring order? Bringing order into things. I remember Johnny bringing order into the office. I don't know if you remember, Tim, that Johnny's order looked like a whirlwind. The cupboards were flung on the floor. They were emptied and things were gone. But he brought a tremendous amount of order into the office in about 5 minutes. That was a passion for Johnny. Is it making provision, providing for your family or providing perhaps for other people? Is it bringing joy? Perhaps you're creative, you're an artist. Perhaps bringing joy is a really important thing. Or bringing beauty. As a musician, as a carpenter, in the dance school, do you bring beauty? Which one of those can you do to really honour God in your work? So the challenge, how can I use my current work and my current gifts to make a difference honouring God in one of those ways? You might just take a moment just to think about that now. Just think, if your work isn't going to work, if your work is just caring or being at home, if you've retired and you're doing other things, how might you honour God by using what he's given you and bringing some of those things about? How might it inspire you to make even something that seems unimportant the best that you can give, to do it really well? So as I was typing this up, I tidied up the typing and tidied up the typesetting because I was thinking I'm talking about quality here. And it sort of struck me, I wanted this to actually, on the paper, it looks quite tidy for once. It's not all crossed out. Because it struck me that even preparing a talk is part of doing good work and honouring God. And so doing it well is really important. So the final section, and some of you might think this is a bit you've been waiting for really, because you just do not like your job. And if you're in that position, I can empathise. I've been in that position myself. I've done some jobs just to make money. I've done some jobs because I felt I ought to. And I've been trapped in jobs in really difficult sort of environments as well, where the culture is just horrible. So I really understand what that feels like. But sometimes our faith is under pressure because we're at work and we don't know, how do I honour God here? Because I don't even want to be here. Can I honour God here? What can I do? Here's somebody who's working under pressure. Just the next. Do you think for a minute he's thinking about how he can honour God while he's working under pressure? And how different would it be if he was? How different would that be if he was honouring God? If he had this verse in his mind, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. How would that change things? But we may need to think about our work. It may be that there are circumstances that we know they're just a season we're going through because we're under particular pressure and it's going to get better and we just have to hold on. Maybe that we're realising that actually where we are just doesn't fit us. It's not the right place for us yet. Or it may be that you're in the right job but you can't yet do the stuff you want to do to make a difference because you're having to work your way through the stages. That's a really frustrating place to be. You want to change the world and all you can do is fill in a file or whatever it is in your line of work. But those days will come eventually. The challenge still comes to work at it with all your heart and then to go to God and say, well, in this question of faith, what am I going to do with this? So I'm going to give you four things that are options for us. This is the tool for this one. So if we start with the first one, we can pray. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. If you're in a job that is really not good for you, or if you wish you could work, or if you're retired but you're bored and you're struggling, ask God, Lord, what should I do? And trust that he'll help you. And if you struggle with that and you don't get an answer, get a friend and say, will you pray with me about this? What should I do? So we can pray. When I prayed about the job that I was in that I'd realised didn't really fit me, I was led to go and see somebody, and I laid it all out for her, and within about 30 seconds she just said, you just need to leave. It was a no-brainer to her. And actually having that, having prayed before I went, having that really clear response was hugely helpful. You can stay. You can conclude that God has put you there for this season for a purpose. Therefore, you need to dig in even harder into God to get his sense of really what he's equipping you for, to help sustain, to keep you going, to keep you on track. And we've got a very dear friend in Shropshire who was offered, she was facing redundancy, and she was offered a job which was a step into accounts from a job that she'd loved. And she prayed about it, and she said, I feel God sending me because there's people in that office who don't know Jesus and I need to go. And 6 months in, the job was awful. She was really struggling. She was having to learn a whole load of new approaches to work. But she said, no, I'm absolutely convinced God's called me to be here. I've got a complete peace about it. And as far as I know, she's still there. It's about 4 or 5 years later and she's still in that job. Still showing her faith, still honouring God in her work in that setting. So she decided to stay. And sometimes in that setting, we can just learn what God has for us. And then we grow, don't we? We grow, we affect people around us. Sometimes that leads us to being asked to do other things. But finally, we may have to just go. It may be time to go. Sometimes that takes courage. Sometimes the next thing isn't there, and you just have to say to the Lord, I feel you're leading me out of this. And I'm going to take a step of faith and wait for the next thing. But we have a God who gives us faith. And our faith tells us that he can open doors for us. He can give us opportunities. He can lay a passion on our hearts. And then we can go to him and say, Lord, you've put this in me. Give me somewhere to express it. If I try and move out and I can't, then I can ask if the Lord can help me there. But if I can't do that, then I can go to other people and say, will you pray me out of this place? And trust that he'll bring something else. It might be quite a scary leap. And it might be that actually you have to play with the thing that you're trying to get good at first. You might have to practice it as a volunteer. You might have to explore other things till you get there. So this challenge is that if work is tough, ask people to pray with you and genuinely seek the will of God. He may say wait, or he may open a door. But we can have faith for all of those things because he's uniquely made us. He's given us a unique call, and he wants us all to grow. So I want to give you a bit of chance to think about that in a moment. So wherever you find yourself this week and whatever your work looks like, I want you to have a moment in the middle of a song we're going to play to just recommit that work to God. To pray perhaps for a fresh understanding or a more positive understanding of your unique gifts and purpose. To genuinely submit your work to him. Say, Lord, it's work. But it's not a dirty word with you, it's work. Will you help me honour you in it? And to pray for wisdom to support those who face real challenges in their workplace, challenges where it's really tough. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pause for a moment where you just think, I wonder what in there is the thing that I want to do before the Lord. And then we're going to play a song, and there are some words that you'll see on the screen. So if you want to stay in the place that you're in, then just keep your eyes closed because the words might interfere with what you're thinking. But if the words might help, the words are part of a prayer and a response. So use these words just to help you shape your own heart attitude to God. And then I'm going to just come back at the end of the song and just say a couple more things. Thank you. Wherever that's left you, I'm just going to suggest we take a few minutes. You might want to turn into threes and fours or just pray with somebody, just grab somebody. And whatever the kind of challenge that's left you with, just offer that to the Lord. Or pray for each other. If somebody in your little group is particularly struggling with their job, then maybe that's something you could pray for. But let's just take a few moments now just to pray for one another. And then we're going to have some more worship together to draw us together again.